today on Living on Every Word.
I want to say this. If you don't hear anything else today, remember grace. Seek for it. Ask for it. Because I think we have this tendency to think that grace is only for after sin. But no, grace is for you before the possibility of sin. It's this power in your life, this power of God.
If you're familiar with comic books, you know that every superhero has a special power when facing a supervillain. But did you know that in Jesus Christ, you are given a special power when facing temptation? Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher explores the power of grace in part 3 of The Way of Escape to Freedom.
Living on every word.
Oh, Father, I just want to thank you that it just is so much more than just receiving you into our lives and making heaven one day. Do you have promises for us? And Lord, as I read this morning, Lord, that we get to smile at the future today. And I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that as we open the Word and continue some of these thoughts about moving through life, Lord, just conquering sin and seeing Jesus Lord of our lives and not seeing sin as Master, that God, that you would just embrace us today as we embrace the Word and all the promises therein. So, Father, come, Lord, and teach us. Come and show us great and mighty things. I thank you for the anointing of God upon every one of us today, the anointing that teaches us how to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Holy Spirit, come, illumine us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to Romans chapter 6. We're continuing our study this morning on this way of escape. That there is a way of escape from the snare of sin, from the snare of the enemy. That this way of escape is a way to victory, and it is the way to life. It is the way of life. We know that Scripture says that no man comes to the Father but through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is a way through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that I hope will be some very practical application and practical to your life, to the things that you're facing in this life, because every one of us have been tempted. Is that right? How many of you have been tempted this week, right? I think about the temptation this week, that I became at some point impatient this week. How many of you have been impatient this week, right? What's the fruit of the Spirit? Fruit of the Spirit is patience. And so I became impatient, and then the impatience followed an irritability. And then that irritability, there's this temptation to complain and grumble, and then that complaint was turning quickly into anger. So think about that in terms of your own, how you face certain things, you know, certain situations that come your way, or certain people that just get on your nerves and you're impatient and irritable with. We all have them. Is impatience and irritability the way of the cross? Is it the way of Jesus? It's not the Jesus way, right? Patient, not irritable. And so I think about the Scriptures that I've been sharing with you. For instance, the 1 Corinthians 10 passage, verse 13. There's no temptation that's overtaken you, but such is common to man. So this temptation to be impatient, irritable, complaining, and then moves right into anger over certain things. Talking about me today, okay? And so this temptation that's come over me is common to man, but God is faithful and is not allowing me to be tempted beyond what I am able to bear. I mean, according to the ability that God gives to me, He gives me ability and power and will not allow the enemy to come with something that I cannot handle in that moment and in that hour or even in that season. And so He says, listen, I'm going to give you this temptation. It's not going to be on your ability. I've empowered you. And with this temptation also, I'm going to provide the way of escape also. That's what we're talking about. The way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. What does it mean to endure temptation? To move through it victoriously. That's what endurance is. The Bible talks about the saints enduring to the end and being saved. Well, think about that as just a little bit of a moment of temptation coming, and I'm enduring it, and I'm saved from that temptation in that moment. God has snatched me out of it, but I had to make a choice. I had to make a choice to cut off the anger and to cut off the complaining and the grumbling, and to cut off the impatience and the irritability. And I want to tell you this, you have the same
power, the divine power of God that Jesus Christ also had in his life. That is what's so great about our God. Gives us this ability to do that. And so the question that we're asking, though, last week and this week is, why would I want to endure? Really, why would I want to see my life conquering sin and sin not being Lord of my life? Why would I want to walk in and seek for this enduring lifestyle, this conquering lifestyle? Why do I want to master sin? And we began that study last week, and I want to review with you just really quickly, okay? First of all, because of his excellent promises, the excellent promise of what Paul says, sin shall not be your Lord, shall not be your Caesar, shall not be your king. Remember from last week. And so there's an excellent promise here, and these excellent great promises go on and on and on. Listen, when I am walking in victory, I have unbroken fellowship with God. Unbroken fellowship with God. The second thing that we looked at last week is continual freedom from guilt and regret. The third thing is effectual influence. I can't walk around in anger all the time and be effective for Christ. How can I? The fourth thing is biblical assurance. Biblical assurance. The great benefit of not walking in sin is having this great biblical assurance. And then the fifth thing was, I avoid shame, I avoid pain, and I avoid sorrow. Not only in my own life, but in the lives of other people. Listen, I want to walk in victory because of God's great promises, the continual promises. The second reason is because we're not under law, we're under the grace of God. And we looked at grace last week as this power of God in our lives. Do you have that definition back? I want to remind that to you, reminded of this definition. Grace is the merciful kindness of God. And it's unmerited, by the way. You can't earn it. The unmerited, merciful kindness of God, where he's exerting his holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ, keeps, strengthens, and increases them in Christian faith, knowledge, affections, and kindles in them the exercises of Christian virtues. That's what the grace of God does in my life. Praise God. Listen, I want to say this. If you don't hear anything else today, remember grace. Remember grace. Remember this exertion of his holy influence upon my life. Seek for it. Ask for it. Ask God's favor upon your life. Because I think we have this tendency to think that grace is only for after sin. But no, grace is for you before the possibility of sin. It's this power in your life. This power of God. And there's no greater example than that than in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'd like for you to turn there for just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's bring it in verse 1 because there's a couple of things that I want to point out to us this morning. Boasting is necessary, though it is not profitable. But I'll go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, now this man is Paul, okay, he's talking about himself, so understand that. Whether in body, I do not know, or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up into the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I don't know, but God knows, was caught up into paradise. And watch this, he heard in the inexpressible words, which a man is not permitted to speak. On behalf of such a man, I'm going to boast, but on my own behalf, I'll not boast except in regard to my weaknesses. For I do wish to boast. I will not be foolish, for I will be speaking the truth, but I refrain from this so that no one will credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me. Now watch, this is what he's going to boast in. He's not going to boast about his journey to heaven. He's going to boast about the thorn in the flesh that the enemy came upon him with so to keep him from boasting, to keep him from sinning, to keep him from pride. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger that is, actually he says it's from Satan, and he came to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. And concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Watch this, for power is perfected in weakness. Wow. Got an angel over here from Satan, and he is buffeting me. God's allowed this messenger to come to do what? To keep me from exalting myself, to keep me from pride, to keep me from arrogance.
And I said, oh God, can you take this away from me? And nothing happens. And he says a second time, oh God, can you take this away from me? And nothing happens. And he says, oh God, can you please take this away from me? Three times he asks. And out of the words of God is this, my grace is sufficient for you because my power is being perfected in these weaknesses. I can rest in that. I can rest in the things that are in my life right now, the circumstances that are in my life, if that's going to keep me from exalting myself and that the grace of God is going to do such an improvement in my life and in my heart and with my relationship with God, then Lord, I'll keep the thorn in the flesh. If you say it like that. See, so passionate was this man for the glory of God and nothing else. His glory was not for a church in Ephesus or a church in Corinth or a church here and a church there or a ministry here or a ministry there or a mission. It was for the glory of God. And so if God could be glorified through a thorn in the flesh to keep him from walking in sin, he said, praise God. Because this grace, this power, this divine power that God exerts in our lives to strengthen us and to keep us and to cause us to endure, Paul said, that is just so much better. So you know what he does? He thanks God for the thorn. Notice, most gladly, therefore, I will boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses and insults and distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am really, really strong. Wow. The strength of God through my own weakness. Now, what did this do for Paul? Well, first of all, he boasted and he did it gladly. So you don't see the grumbling here. You don't see the complaining here. You see a boasting that he gladly receives. I was thinking about this today. What would that look like for me? Well, it would look like, I think for me, that if I had this thorn, this persecution, say like Paul and Silas had when they were thrown into prison and they were beaten and they were thrown in the deepest dungeon, which was the sewer part. It's where all the waste went. You know, it was a bad, bad place. And I think, what's the grace of God look like? Well, I'll tell you what it looks like. At 12 o'clock midnight, they start singing praises to God. That's what the grace of God looks like. Beaten, the way I was beaten. Uncertain about tomorrow. Uncertain about my future. What is he doing? He's praising God. He's blessing God. He's serving God. He's not singing dirges here, I guarantee you. He is singing hymns and spiritual songs to his great, great God. You know what that does, what that grace does? It eases your pain. Some people think that alcohol or drugs will somehow ease the pain. I want to tell you what, praise to our great God will ease the pain. It will ease the struggle. It will ease to say, God, you are Lord, and I am trusting in you, and I'm trusting in your grace. Now, let me ask you a question. Anybody here today got beat this week with 39 lashes? Anybody? No. Spend a night in the sewer? No. And yet here in the worst circumstances that I think that anybody could go through, he's saying, thank you, Lord, for the thorn. Thank you, Lord, for the thorn. And you know what happens with him? He has unbroken fellowship with God. He has continual freedom from guilt and regret. He has effectual influence. He has biblical assurance, and he's avoiding the shame, the pain, and the sorrow. And I say, hallelujah to that. Praise God to that. That we have this kind of God that would give us this kind of merciful kindness to exert his influence upon my soul to not only turn me to Christ, but to keep me under this great, great grace. And so I want to look for it because grace is my way out. Yeah, it is there for you if you've blown it, but it's there so you don't have to blow it. And I love that about our God. I love that about our God. We have this great freedom today because of God's grace. Now, the third reason why I want to overcome is because of the greatest example of overcoming, and that is in Jesus Christ. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 2. We have this great example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 21. He says, for you have been called for this purpose. What purpose? Well, look at verse 20. What credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor, actually grace, with God. Okay? It finds the merciful kindness exerting the divine influence upon your life with God. Because you've been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps. Now, you know what the word example means? It means, well, the best way that I can explain it is, let's say you're in kindergarten and you're learning your letters. This word comes from a word that means to trace your letters. So it's like this. The teacher gives you a chart with the letters on it, with a sheet of paper that you can see through it, and you trace A, and you trace B. And to follow in His footsteps is to trace the footsteps of Jesus. That's what it means. To trace the footsteps of Jesus. To trace His attitude. To trace His responses. To trace His life. He says, listen, this is the example. To follow in His example. And so He said this, and this is what His steps were, verse 22. He committed no sin. That's what He did. While suffering, He committed no sin. Nor was any deceit found in His mouth. And while being reviled, He did not revile in return. And while suffering, He uttered no threats, but He kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously. And He bore our sins on His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, because by His wounds we've been healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your soul. To return to the shepherd and the guardian of your soul is to trace His steps. That's what following Him means. It's an example. So what is this example? When He's getting reviled, He does not revile in return. Matter of fact, the Bible says He doesn't even open His mouth. When He's suffering, He doesn't utter threats back. Because I want to tell you, He's God, and if He's going to give you a threat, you better watch out. Utters no threats. This is the example we're to follow. Now, do you want to know something? This great example of Jesus is that He has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Therefore, since we have such a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are. Tempted. In all things as we are tempted, yet without sin. The great example of Jesus is that you've received nothing in this life, no temptation, that Jesus, He Himself, has not faced. Tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, He says, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of what? There's our word again, grace. The throne of grace and the throne of mercy. To do what? To receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have a great high priest, this great example, who was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Now, what I want to do right now is I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 4 for just a moment, and we're going to take the next 5 minutes and finish this out and just talk to you a little bit about Christ and His temptations. Jesus, He's our high priest, right? Was led up by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to do what? To be tempted by the devil. Jesus Christ led by the Spirit into temptation. Remember Jesus said, pray this way, lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil? Yeah. Say, it's okay to pray that. Lord, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. It's a good thing to say. It's a good thing to pray. It's a good thing to ask God for. But the Spirit of God is leading him. And then after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. Let me ask you a question. What happens to you when you become hungry? Irritable. There it is. Right? So you think maybe there might have been a temptation to be irritable? Well, have you been tempted to be irritable when you're hungry? He's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. When I get hungry, I do. I become irritable. I also, when I become hungry, I can become gluttonous. I can be. I can overeat. Been known to do that. Lot. Temptation. Do you think that you've ever been tempted to overeat? Yeah. What, you think Jesus has? Tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin.
You know, when you look at this passage of Scripture and he says that he became hungry, notice a couple of things about it. The tempter comes, Satan comes, and says to him, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And he answered him and said, it's written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What was he tempted? He's tempted, really, above all else? Jesus, are you going to live by the flesh in the temporal, or are you going to live by the eternal, the unseen? What is your life going to be like? Is it going to be about the temporal, or is it going to be about the spiritual? Is it going to be about the eternal things of God? And Jesus is saying to this enemy, man shall not live on bread alone, but he is to live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And Jesus is making his stand against this tempter, this temptation, because it's more than just doing a little magic show, turning rocks into bread. I mean, Jesus could do that all day. The temptation is to do things his way. Turn to Matthew 16, if you would, and we'll get back to this next week, okay? But go to Matthew chapter 16. This temptation to be irritable or to doubt or to live by my own standards or to grumble, the things that I do when I'm hungry, to overeat. I mean, there's a whole lot of things, but here's the basic principle. The basic principle, am I going to live by my flesh or am I going to live by the Spirit of God? And you know, Paul talks about living by the flesh and how bad that is and what kind of consequences there are. But that's the temptation he's being tempted with. And I want you to notice something in verse 21, okay? Now, Peter has just confessed Christ, and Christ has said, oh, boy, you said something really great. Matter of fact, you said it so great that man could not have told you this. You got it from God. So in one moment, Peter is right on track. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And what a temptation there is, to, if you think you're standing, take heed lest you fall, because he's about to fall, right? What is he going to fall about? Well, look what he says. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and then be killed and raised up on the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Wow. Have you ever been tempted to forsake the will of God? Has Jesus been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin? Here's a voice. Here's a voice. A voice. Don't need a messenger here. Don't need a demon here. Don't need an angel from Satan. What do you got? You got his own disciple. His own friend. Telling him to do something different than he knows he's supposed to do. And what does he say? He says, you get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me, for you're not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's interests. Now, you know, this morning when I was getting ready, I was thinking about this temptation to set my mind on my interests, man's interests, or God's interests. And I got to tell you this, you and I, me and you, have that kind of temptation daily. Daily. God's interests, Mike Fritcher's interests. It's there, folks. Jesus endured it as an example to follow in his steps to say, I'm going to put my mind on God's interests. Do you know, I've never put this together with this until this morning, but what was Jesus doing in the garden? God, if it be your will, let this be some other way. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Not my interests, your interests. And he prays it three times. Let this cup pass. Remove this thorn. Oh, my grace is sufficient for you. Because Jesus, you are full of grace and you are full of truth. I want to say no to sin and sinful attitudes because of the great benefits it affords us in this life. I want to do it because we're not under this stinking law. We are under God's grace. And I want to do it because my Lord and Savior did it. And I want to trace my letters according to Him. I want to follow in that same example. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? This great example of Jesus. This great God who loved so great that when the enemy is killing him, he does not revile in return. And when suffering, he utters no threats. He's patient. Patient and kind and loving and compassionate. And I so want to be like him. Matter of fact, the whole world has this in their heart. They just have not articulated it yet. You know, it's the God-shaped hole that only God can fill. Yeah. And what we'll do is we'll stuff everything in life except him, who will only fill the hole and shape it. Victorious living according to Christ is a very good thing. And he's invited us to it. And I can't help but think in these closing moments of this message, to think that Paul would declare, I will gladly boast about this weakness so that God's grace might be revealed in my life. Now, I want to ask you the question. What is it that you face every single day as far as a temptation from the enemy or even a temptation that God is allowing you to go through? What is the propensity for you? What is it? Couple of things. Will you dare believe that there is a way of escape? First out. Is there a way of escape? Yes, there's a way of escape out of this. There's a way to say no to it. Jesus said it. We follow that example, but he said it because he was full of grace and truth, and I have this same grace afforded to me, and you have the same grace afforded to you. Matter of fact, I think God wants to do such a great work in our lives that this transformation that's supposed to take place and that will take place if you're a believer in Christ. I mean, you wake up one day and certain things, I mean, they don't bother you at all anymore. And Satan has to move on to the next thing for you. But I want to tell you this. Jesus overcame so that you might die to the sin and live to righteousness. And I'm going to ask you, church, I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to ask God, oh God, would you send a spirit of belief to believe, the power to believe these wonderful, magnificent promises that are these wonderful, magnificent benefits? I pray that you will find that kind of victory this day. And that, folks, that as we move from this day as a church body, that we move in unity and oneness toward Christ. That's what we rally behind. We rally behind Him and His glory, Him and His ways, Him and His goodness and mercy, Him. We rally around Him and His love. This great love that He loved you with. Been on another passage of Scripture all week. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, above all, be fervent in your love to one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. You want to talk about grace there? The multitude of sins that love covers. And when I'm like Christ, I'm loving you, and I'm loving neighbor, and I'm loving my enemy, and I'm loving my best friend. It's the grace of God. It's what He comes to do in your life. Will you grab onto that and walk out of this place today free with a great expectation of greater freedom because we believe. God, we thank you, we bless you, we praise you for these great opportunities that we have this week. Yes, that's what temptation is. It's a great opportunity for us to be like Christ and to be Jesus to somebody, to be Jesus to somebody. I thank you for the way of escape and the reasons why we can walk this way and want to walk this way. And I just ask, Lord, that you'd come and empower us to do just that. You are such a great God. Come, Lord, come and be great in our life. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hamlet is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Living on